This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's right, you're with Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9 for another fantastic show over the next hour. It's Kath and Brian here. And Kath, you're like Big Kev tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Why so?
Well, our guest tonight's a very special guest for many, many different reasons, but one of them at least is because I've known our guest for quite some time and from another place, from a few other places actually. And, well, who's gonna break the news about our guest tonight?
I would like to sort of have this linger on a bit more because this guest tonight, I've actually wanted to get them in for some time now, and because they are somebody that has a fascinating life. I mean, anybody connected to you, Kath, tends to be fascinating.
Oh,
the guests you bring in are just fabulous. But yeah, this guest tonight is somebody that, yeah, has got a great, they've been on television. They've got an amazing radio voice, I found tonight.
And performing voice.
And a performing voice. And yeah, like I said, we've tried to get them in for quite some time. We had them on a wish list, rather, to get them into Lefty Pinkos, and tonight is the night.
I bludgeoned Paige Phoenix. No, Paige Phoenix is in with us tonight. Singer, songwriter, performer, and also this a trained psychotherapist, a community worker, a communications person, quite a very full character here.
And I want to know, Kath, though, how do you know Paige?
We first met up in northern New South Wales under some disgraceful circumstances, not personally.
Oh, just give us a little insight.
Oh, God. Well, look, I was very privileged one time to have Paige drive me from Lisbon more to the Gold Coast, which is probably about an hour and a half, but tragically we were there for this event where these people had asked me to do this nice performance for International Disability Day, and when they asked me, I said, you do know I'm rather bent, don't you, and I do unusual stuff, and they were like, oh yes, Kathy, we can't wait to have you up there. And I said, so tell me about the audience. Oh, everyone, you know, I said, you know, they're going to be kids. Oh, I don't think so, something blather. Anyway, so I prepared this absolutely obscene thing that I thought we'd just go down a treat at the Gold Coast. We drove the whole page. I heard Paige's story of Paige's life on the way up. Fabulous, fabulous. We get there, and as I start to present, I realise there were kids in the audience, and it was the first time I've ever been pulled off a stage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to glean this out tonight, along with interesting tidbits from Paige Phoenix.
Yeah, Paige, with us.
We're on Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We'll be back to chat to Paige after this track.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.
That's right. Lefty Pinkos here with you for the next hour. Me, Kath and Brian. And tonight, our special guest, Paige Phoenix.
Hello.
Hello, Paige.
How you doing?
Oh, really. So cool to have Paige in the studio, isn't it, Brian?
It is. We've been waiting a long time to do this and get you in and yarn about your very fascinating life.
Absolutely. My pleasure and privilege.
Now, perhaps we should start by revealing that you're actually originally from Melbourne. I didn't know that.
Yeah, born in Melbourne. Family moved to Queensland when I was a kid. Then I moved to Sydney, then relocated up to the Northern Rivers, as you know, for a whole bunch of time or a year. And then decided to come back to Melbourne to pursue music and all things exciting.
Now, you're probably most famous for your 2011 stint on X Factor. And at the time, you were the first trans man to be featured on any of those, you know, entertainment-y, what are, you know, reality show scene?
Reality show, yeah, marketing,
voice
pop
things.
Outcome, voice things, yeah.
What was it like?
It was lots of things. It was like India. Absolutely spectacular and completely atrocious and everything in between. Yeah. It was, look, honestly, I wouldn't not have done it, but I wouldn't do it again.
Really?
What were some of the highs, Paige, within it?
The highs were really the things that came afterwards, the watching the impact that it had globally, really. For the time that like obviously when a lot of it's pre-recorded until it gets to the live shows bit, and so there was a period of time where I just had to kind of wait for it to air and couldn't really speak about what had happened or anything. And then when it aired, I sort of just sat at home and fielded messages for about a month.
Yes, it totally took off.
And I answered every single solitary message that was sent to me because they weren't just, oh, you know, saw you on the show, great voice kind of messages. They were deeply personal and meaningful. And, you know, my, you know, trans kid suicided and we've gotten closure out of this, or I've been hiding in my bedroom for 5 years and or I'm a singer and I want to do it and I'm going to, that kind of stuff. So,
being trans and being such a public forum, did you find that was a challenge? I mean, for them or for yourself? Because it's commercial TV, isn't it? And it's like, you know, and I don't know that there's... Well, Kath said you're the first trans person on the show, but, I mean, did you feel like you were paving the way or being a bit of a trailblazer in that sense?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I had the fortune of meeting a producer from MasterChef before... before... I think it was... after live auditions, but before the rest of it and boot camp and stuff. And he said, you need to be very clear on what it is that you want to get out of this and make sure that you set your goals before you start, because if you don't, they will just take from you.
And they might railroad you into a certain...
You get to the end of it and you'll be like, what have I actually achieved? And I wanted, obviously, to pursue my music, but I wanted to raise the profile of gender diversity in mainstream media. And... yeah, we definitely did that.
Absolutely.
Largely thanks to Perez Hilton, who picked up the clip and put it onto his website, and we just sat and watched. They got a hit counter. It got 250,000 hits in the first two hours.
Goodness me.
And it's had over 1 million hits off his site. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, that's what you're famous for to a certain extent, but what people perhaps don't know are the things about the study that you've undertaken, the sort of jobs that you've done, and, you know, your major interests in life, which you've said to us before, also about, you know, spirituality and loving life and sexuality as well and all that. Can you tell us a bit about your academic pursuits? Just can you tell us a bit about what you've done there?
Well, as a result of being a state ward as a kid, I didn't do much schooling when I was younger. Just because I moved around so frequently as a kid, I bailed out on high school altogether. I think I did like the first semester of year eight, and then I went back as a mature age student to university, and I did a social science degree in human relations and communication because I love people, and yeah, that was my interest. And then luckily I've got a bit of a knack for writing, so I didn't find the academic stuff too difficult. Like, I thought I was going to bomb out completely, but I'd actually managed to do okay. And then when I finished, I decided to get further into my people interests and did postgraduate qualifications in Gestalt psychotherapy. And it all kind of... it all sort of sits side by side with my spirituality interests, and I'm just doing what I love now on a day-to-day basis, and that can be working with people and doing mentoring and peer support stuff, or it could be writing. And I reckon I've got at least 3 books in me, and so just trying to get a writing practice happening. And and obviously the psychotherapy stuff really feeds into not just how I work with people, but how I live my life. Gestalt's a very integrated modality, and it's not really something that you do. It's kind of who you are. So, my life is about self-inquiry and trying to develop as a person, because I think that really nothing can happen until you get your own house sorted. So, yeah.
And I guess I wouldn't mind going back to, like, your ward of the state. I mean, what was that about? Can you explain that perhaps? Or
I had my relationship with my parents broke down at a really young age. Yep. Retrospectively, I think we could probably look back at it and pin a lot of it on the gender stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the time, we didn't really know that that's what was going on. My folks did the best that they could. I was a very challenging kid, very full on, and kind of just got a sense that I wasn't really loved, didn't feel loved and accepted, and as a result of that I rebelled like all get out, and was a complete handful, and they just couldn't deal with me. So
what age was that? Like around like,
yeah, young 10, yeah.
Young 10, like yeah, preteen sort of thing. Yeah,
yep. Mm-hmm. So became a state ward. I really pushed for it. I wanted out as much as they wanted me out.
As much,
so
yep.
I kind of,
wow,
know,
did you,
yeah,
sort of like divorce your parents as some people, as it's become known now?
I don't know that I was consciously doing that, but I think I was running with, I think I'd seen Annie a few too many times, and I'm pretty sure that I was going off to a nice little picnic, you know, an orphan's picnic where, you know, people with, you know, pastel sweaters, you know, would come and, you know, select a child and take me away and love me, you know, and yeah, and I'd live happily ever after. I was very disappointed to find that that wasn't actually the case, and I was the victim of lots of very dysfunctional and abusive situations as a child, so it was god awful, became independent as quickly as possible as a kid. So I was working and doing everything at 14, and
wow,
you know, doing independent living programs and getting ready to do my own thing. So
when did you, I mean, I don't know if this question's going to be insensitive, but when did you start to want to assert your gender identity?
Like, I think I always asserted it. Pretty much. Like, I think you do it unconsciously as a child. Mm-hmm. And just part of expressing self, really. Yep. And so, you know, there was the things that didn't kind of quite fit, like, you know, standing on the toilet and facing the other way to try and wee at three and four, you know, like before you even have an idea of
how it's done
or that there's a gender even, you know. So that kind of thing, running around, never, ever, ever wanted to wear a shirt. I was just famous as a child for being shirtless. And and then, you know, there sort of comes an age where your parents really start to pressure you to, you know, for you to conform. And and hence the, you know, yeah, the clashes sort of started and lots more conflict and, and may really dig my heels in around it, and
And has that relationship been reconciled, or where does it sit nowadays?
Oh God, we kind of like we reconciled it a bit, and then I came out as same sex attracted. I put that in inverted commas, and I got dumped again. And then we reconciled that, and then I told them I was going to transition, and I got dumped again, and we haven't gotten back on track since then. So my sister and I have a great relationship, but my folks and I unfortunately haven't managed to find our way back to each other.
So you've done you've been pretty amazing to then from the age of 14, you know, carve your own independent sort of life, and along there you must have found belonging places. Can you talk a bit about them, where you found places where you made friends and fit in and part of the community?
Look, honestly, I was just a unit. Kath, until I did my psychotherapy training, I was a really damaged person, and I don't think I really found a lot of belonging until I sorted myself out. If anyone is listening who I interacted with along the way, sorry about that. So I think it's sort of part of the reason why I am trying to live the life that I'm living now and give as much back as I can, because I didn't really fit and find a groove and find self-love and find the things that make life awesome until, you know, a fair way in there. So,
I always thought that you, if I can just sort of throw this in, what I saw from the outside was Paige always had all these babes of all genders throwing themselves at you, and so I thought you were kind of doing pretty well.
I've gotten laid a lot, but I don't
know. It's true.
Yeah.
But is there satisfaction in that?
Well, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends really. No, I don't think until you kind of know. It depends on what you want. I think, you know, it's for me personally, superficial, casual encounters are great for casual encounters' sake. Mm-hmm. But for me, I've found that my satisfaction comes from connection, from length of relationship and depth and, you know, growing together and... that can't really be topped, I don't think. Mm.
And at this stage of your life, can you tell us a bit about what you're doing now?
What am I doing now? I'm really... managing my health has become a full-time kind of job. Like, I got diagnosed with an autoimmune condition that's degenerative and incurable. So I am... just trying to find a balance at the moment between managing health and trying to get a feel for the speed with which things are changing and then still doing the things that I want to do. So pretty much most of the things that I agree to do come with a disclaimer now because my health condition fluctuates a lot. So it can be really difficult to know how I'm going to be on any given day. Mm-hmm. But I still want to be as active as I possibly can and do things that I want to do. So some days it looks like, you know, I have to go, okay, I need to be at home today. And the internet is, everyone knows I'm a big Facebook whore. I spend a lot of time connecting with people and, you know, doing stuff there. Writing is another thing that I'm finding that I can do when I'm at home. And then when I'm not, I've got, you know, lots of other things on the go, performing at sort of, I basically just do stuff by invitation now, which is great. Music, and I've got my activism stuff as well. Got a case against the federal government with the United Nations Human Rights Commission at the moment, and we're just awaiting a reply on the 30th of this month, actually. So the deadline for that's coming up, and that's been about 5 years in the making, that case. So, yeah.
I think I want to grill you about that one.
Yeah, sure.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinkos here with Kath and Brian, and we're chatting to Paige Phoenix, an amazing lad. You may know him from The X Factor.
Yeah.
He's been on the TV. We'll be back after these announcements with more chats here on Lefty Pinkos.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with Joy 94.9, and that was Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
We all sighed over that, didn't we?
I'm having deja vu, actually. I used to sit in my bedroom with headphones, not unlike those we were in the studio today, mm-hmm. listening to that song and thinking that I could sing along beautifully while my parents didn't like it. But anyway, sort of thanks, Paige, for that particular,
That's just mean.
Step back into it.
No, I should have been encouraging you.
Absolutely. Well,
I don't think I've got the best singing voice, but anyway, it was all about the gusto, but yeah.
But a bloody good radio voice. And speaking of radio voices, we have a discovery, besides Paige, who's, you know, someone who's got an established career, we have a little discovery in the studio with us.
Another special guest,
yeah,
yes.
This is Lauren.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, there's the mic.
Wait. Hi.
Yeah, Lauren's our new podcaster.
Yes.
We
Woo,
love
yeah.
you. Say hello or something.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Yay!
Now Lauren, has come on board most recently with us to podcast Lefty Pinkos.
Yeah.
We've had a bit of trouble finding a podcaster, and I mean, we had Brandon join us for a bit, but Lauren's actually come on as somebody that's just willing to do it, and she does it really promptly too, which is fantastic. But Lauren, do you want to maybe just tell our listeners a bit about yourself?
17. You know, media and that sort of thing really, really, really interesting. And I really enjoy it. It's really great listening and, I love it.
Yeah, no, and we're hyper grateful. And so if you're really grateful for Lauren and your podcast, I do encourage you to send her a message via SMS on 0427 Joy 949, or you can ring Gordy at the front there on 1300 Joy 949, or email onair@joy.org.au. But Lauren will get our podcasts up for you at joy.org.au on the Lefty Pinko site, and you can hear what we've got to say to our wonderful guests like Paige.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yay! Mm. So we have, this is Lefty Pinkos. We're here for the next half hour with our fabulous guest, Paige Phoenix. Now, Paige, in a short moment, you're about to play us a song. Can you tell us a bit about music and you, how music came into your life and why it's become so important?
I can't remember a time when music hasn't been in my life, really. I have sung as long as I can remember. I had parents that both really loved music. My mum has a great singing voice, and my sister sings as well. And singing's always been just the thing that's connected me to joy. And as I developed my spirituality, it became a thing that I sort of began to understand that was connecting me to what I would call source or to the divine or, you know, whatever you want to call it. That's kind of the line to God for me. I have an idea about it now that a performance is great to the degree to which I manage to get out of the way and let whatever that is that kind of moves through to the
channels
thing.
Through you or
totally. And I can watch when ego or my mind start to get in the way.
In the way, clutter that channeling.
It mucks it up.
Yep.
What
sort of style do you do musically?
Oh, anything really. Like, I just love music that moves me and anyone else. And I think it's an incredible vehicle for lots of things and for connection with other people. And certainly my experience on the show was that it's a great way to locate common humanity. Mm-hmm. Because if you connect with people on that level, on a heart level, which music tends to drop people into their hearts, then it kind of normalizes the package that it comes in or that it's come out of. And so I think it, in terms of the whole trans story thing, it made me a lot easier to connect with, I think, for people that had never met a trans person before or they were already in their hearts. Paved the way really beautifully.
Oh, that's really interesting.
You've played a bit of MJ for us tonight, but who else is your inspirations? MJ is?
As a kid, Michael Jackson, John Farnham, growing up, Arnie DeFranco, I love political, thoughtful songwriters. I've learnt to appreciate pop in the same way that I can appreciate occasionally turning on the television, if I just want mental chewing gum or just something that, you know, I don't have to engage too much or it just makes me move, then whatever, pop music's great. But I love and listen very closely to lyrics and people's stories that they tell through music. So
the first time I saw Paige perform was at a place up north called the Fruit Bowl, which is run by Tropical Fruits, which is like the queer kind of social club up there. And it was some fundraising event, I don't know what, but Paige got up there and said, right, well, I'm going to sing for you all. And of course, I knew Paige as being the disability sort of networking person. I didn't know Paige could sing. And Paige said, no, I'm going to do, Wind Beneath Your Wings. And I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be terrible, the poor guy. But at least it's a soft audience, we'll all be kind. And he just let rip. And honest to God, we all had to pick our jaws up off the floor. I'll never forget that performance. It was so out there. And afterwards, I went up to Paige and I said, I don't know. You could sing. I had no idea you could sing like that. It was amazing.
There's probably a lot of things you didn't know about.
No, there was. Indeed.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're with Joy 94.9. It's Brian here with Lefty Pinkos and Kath. And I'm pretty excited. We've got Paige Phoenix in the studio here and we've got a message from a listener.
Oh.
I'd like to read it out. It says, for Paige Phoenix, very proud of your daddy, Papa.
Aww.
Wolf, you're an amazing trans activist and ally for the GLBTI community, and your efforts will always be remembered and your spirit will live in many people's hearts forever.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Love, Pup and Little Wolf.
That's that's my little pack at home.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's my best mate and my very, very, very dear friend, Mishy. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lots of love there for the page. Now, if I can change the subject completely.
Yeah.
Paige, I really have been dying to talk to you about this because I happen to know in about 2 weeks you're going to get a very special package from the States.
A package?
It's called the Ultimate.
My package is arriving.
Yeah. Can you, look, you know, I don't know how many people know about this, and I just want to make it clear, I asked Paige before if we could talk about this, so we're just going to talk about this amazing thing that you're going to get from the States. Can you tell us a bit about why this is such an innovation?
Okay, well, so the background that I guess is important is that for male to female trans people, the full sex reassignment surgery options are pretty fantastic. You can go over to Thailand or, you know, pick a surgeon of your choice and pretty much have your whole body redesigned and brought into alignment with your experience of your gender. For trans men, the chest surgery options are fantastic. The effects that we get from testosterone are also fantastic. Unfortunately, lower surgery options are pretty abysmal for the most part. If you guys brave it and go for it, but for a person like myself who has pretty complex suppressed immunity and health conditions, it's absolutely off the menu for me. So what that means is that we then have a bunch of I guess you would call it equipment
or prosthetics.
Different devices that we can use in order to help us to live in the community in the way that we want to and to be in ourselves in the way that we feel comfortable. Unfortunately, though, there's a whole bunch of different devices that all serve different purposes. We haven't really had many all-in-one devices that are great. So, for example, for a lot of guys, and not all guys need this, but for a lot of guys to feel comfortable, they have a prosthetic which is called a packer, which is just basically a soft prosthetic that you wear in your underwear that makes you feel more complete and more comfortable and more like your body is supposed to be. Then there's another device which is called a Stand P device, which is effectively a prosthetic that has a device attached to it that enables you to urinate in a standing position. So I can use a urinal and be standing next to a guy and he can turn around and not really know that there's anything unusual there. And then you need other devices again that will enable you to have sex as well. If you want to have penetrative sex, I need to say penises are not essential to having good sex. So guys, take a note. What's been designed by a very innovative man named Cody Whitfield is a thing called the Ultimate Prosthetic. Now, I'm yet to receive it, so I'm going to reserve judgment on you know how fantastic it is. I've seen the video for it. If it is even half as good as it appears to be or as he claims it is, it's going to be as close to having a complete body as trans men will be able to have without undergoing lower surgery. So it's extremely exciting for us. I've been sitting looking at the post box for letterbox for the last, like, it's been 2 months in production basically, and they're just making them one at a time as they get ordered because it's $2,000. So and I've had some they're only being released in the States at the moment, so I've had some help from a friend over there to actually get it all happening and get it over here. But I don't know how much detail you want about what it does, but probably
how do you feel, Brian?
What sort of questions are they asked to and again, I don't know if this is going to be insensitive, but fit you accordingly, or
they're not really up. Like, there's a lot of the companies that are doing these kinds of prosthetics, they do offer lots and lots and lots of different options in terms of skin tone, and that stuff's obviously really important, and to have one that sort of I know this might seem it might sound a bit weird, but like, you have a sense of the size that your penis would have been if you had one. So,
wow.
And some guys really genuinely don't feel confident with a really, really big dick. So, it's uncomfortable for them. It doesn't feel right. I actually do feel like I would have had a pretty big did.
So you've gone that road, down that road. Actually,
and you can choose like what size you want, so which is kind of cool. Or you can have like I have and have 10 of them. And then, you know, when you have a partner, they can choose.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but, yeah.
That is a phenomenal concept that I'm just like, kind of blown away by that.
It's actually not a bad thing. It's really great. Like, I don't, I mean, yeah, it's been a really enlightening and sort of liberating process to go through getting okay with, you know, with the reality that I'm never going to be able to get the body that I would like physiologically, and being able to let go of that and then embrace what is available to me and feel good about it. And and I do, and I'm so lucky to live in a part of the world and to be privileged enough that I can actually afford to access these things, and you know, yeah, because there's so many people out there that can't. But yeah, so there are a lot of different things like skin tone, like texture, like circumcised, uncircumcised, like all of that kind of stuff. But this one, because of how specialised it is, it's pretty much just, you just
like
get it.
Yep, like a standard sort of model.
Yeah, it does what it does, and yeah, and that's it kind of thing. So, yeah.
I guess, and what's, I mean, in terms of, I guess, your transition, what other aspects have you been through and when? In your life,
well, I've had chest surgery, obviously, and I've transitioned hormonally.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't born with the shoulder mohawks; they came later.
I remember having coffee with you. Oh, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, and going, "Gee, you're getting furry,
yeah,
Paige."
Right. What's up with the hair? Yeah.
Wow. And you said, yeah, yes, yeah. And that was when we talked about it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, look, it's a very interesting process to go through because you don't know what you're going to get. I think a lot of us or certainly I looked at my dad and I thought, okay, I'm probably going to end up sort of like my dad. And,
really?
And you actually inherit all of the masculine genes from the maternal side. So it's the men on your mum's side. So your mum's dad, your mum's brothers, if she has any, will much more closely reflect what you end up looking like. And they're all bears on that side of the family. Yes. So my dad has like 3 chest hairs. And so when it just kept coming and kept coming, I was like, I remember the day I was standing in front of the mirror and I realised that my chest hair and my shoulder hair had linked up. I was like, oh, dear God.
High five. Yeah, high five.
I need an air. Yeah, but no, I love it. You know, it's, you don't get to just tick the boxes on what you want. You know, you just kind of evolve. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you got any, we're getting towards the end of the show now. Just have you got tips for young guys, you know, hang in there, do stuff. Well, looking back on it now, is there anything you wish you'd known back then?
The one thing that, I mean, it's probably, like, it's a big can of worms to open, but I think because of my spiritual bent, I've really learnt that that gender is a construct, that we are fundamentally, in terms of relative truths, when we're kind of neither male nor female when we get to our essential, like, we are consciousness kind of type on that level. So that for me has been a really interesting part of just because my gender has been such a figural point of my life, to kind of transcend that has been a really interesting sort of process. So on a personal level, that's been my biggest kind of thing. But for your average, you know, kid who's transitioning, or for people later in life that are transitioning or whatever, access as much support as you can. Where you place your attention is where you're going to end up. So surround yourself with positivity. Always ask the question, why am I choosing to do what I'm doing? And investigate it, because transition is not a magic bullet that will resolve any of your issues that you've got. Work them out, and, you know, really just work on yourself, keep working on yourself. And I think make as much use of this incredible resource that we've got, the internet. There's a lot of support and a lot of information out there, and yeah, just really carefully consider the things that you're going to do before you do them, because a lot of this stuff is irreversible, and you want to be one of the healthy, happy trans people out there. And yeah, I reckon that's probably the way to do it.
Ah, Paige Phoenix has been our guest for the week. Tell us a bit about next week.
Before we do, though, I just want to... We've got a couple of messages from some excited listeners. Kenton Miller has emailed us
in.
He wants us to raise the bar, and he says, that's it. There's no going back. Live music every week on Lefty Pinko's.
Oh, I agree.
And we've got another message also for you. Loved it, Paige, from Connor, Happy Face.
Oh, thanks, Connor.
And a Radiothon membership has been received from Jamie in Brighton. So thanks to Jamie. Next week we'll kick off our Radiothon. We've got the amazing Noel Tovey lined
up. Yeah, a special guest.
Let's pull out the big guns. And we'll go with Noel Tovey next week. And we're trying to line somebody else up too to kind of match him here, like in the studio with Kath, myself, and in chatting to Noel Tovey. We won't be able to get him into the studio, but we will nonetheless have him live
on the phone
with wonderful chats. And so please join us next week on Lefty Pinko's Tuesday at 8 p.m. Thanks to Paige.
And
thanks
Lauren.
You'll get the podcast on air.
Before we know it.
Online, rather, very soon.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.